I'll join with Keith in welcoming you today. We have visitors among us, and we're glad to see you. Hope that you'll want to come again. Can you think of an occasion when almost the whole city came together? Have you seen that within your lifetime, when almost the whole city came together for anything? What event would attract such a gathering of people together? I call your attention this morning to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. This book tells of the beginning of the church and the spread of the gospel. Within its pages is recorded the preaching trips of one of the greatest preachers to ever walk the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul. And chapter 13 begins the first preaching trip. The setting is the church in Antioch. There are certain prophets and teachers, and among them we find Paul and Barnabas being sent away or sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 14, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. This gave Paul his opportunity. As verse 16 reports, Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, And thus begins Paul's sermon at Antioch in Pisidia. Following that sermon, in verse 42, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You might underscore the reaction of the Gentiles as they besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now watch verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. That serves as a springboard for this particular study. When almost the whole city came together. Did you notice the occasion that brought the whole city together? It was not an entertainment occasion. It was not an occasion for recreation. But the event that brought almost the whole city together was to hear the word of God. You might underscore that in verse 44. When almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. I got to thinking about our gospel meeting that begins, Lord willing, a week from today, next Sunday, with Bible study at 10, worship at 11, a singing at 2:30 with preaching following at 3, and services each night, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. This occasion in Acts chapter 13 is very similar to a gospel meeting today. And I got to thinking about when almost the whole city came together. Let me suggest to you some things that we seek in this gospel meeting from this setting. When the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath, and the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Let me suggest to you, first of all, that we seek a gospel meeting in which the gospel will be preached. We do not seek entertainment. We do not seek recreation. We do not seek food, fun, and frolic. But we seek the gospel being preached. Notice the sermon that was preached on this occasion. It's a fine one. In fact, the finest sermons that you'll ever hear are those that you'll read in the book of Acts that were preached by men of God in the first century. And I believe we need a return to that kind of preaching today. Wouldn't it be great to have been gathered together with those who heard Paul say, Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land of them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid under his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, that though a man declare it unto you. That's the reading of Paul's sermon at Antioch in Pisidia, from Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 41. What did you observe about that sermon? Very simple, wasn't it? Did you notice his appeal to Scripture? He said, as it is written. Did you notice the fact that it was Christ-centered? That he preached Jesus? He talked about the fact that Jesus had been put to death, but he didn't leave him in the grave. He preached the resurrection of Jesus. He preached the fact that he was seen. He preached the forgiveness of sins. We need preaching like that today, don't we? We need men like Paul who will preach the gospel. And so in this gospel meeting, we seek a gospel meeting in which the gospel will be preached, like Paul preached it in Antioch. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says that Jesus commissioned his apostles, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Paul's doing here in Antioch, preaching the gospel. And Jesus followed up that with this statement, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 16. When Paul wrote the Romans in chapter 1, he said in verse 15, So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. And then he declared, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, We need men who are unashamed of the gospel, who recognize it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Again, in chapter 2 and verse 16, he said, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel," in light of the fact that we're going to be judged by the gospel needs to be preached. And then writing the Romans again in chapter 10, he said in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He talked about how you do that. How is it that an individual calls on the Lord's name? He said, "How then should they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel." And so an individual calls on the name of the Lord as he hears, believes, and obeys gospel preaching. That's why we seek a gospel meeting in which the gospel is preached, so that folks might hear, believe, and obey, and thus, in calling upon the Lord's name, be saved. We seek a gospel meeting and gospel preachers like Paul, who would say in 1 Corinthians 2:1, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save what, Paul? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. But as I got to looking through Acts chapter 13 and thought about this occasion when almost the whole city came together, following this sermon, in verse 42, "The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." And in verse 44, "The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you like to have been among that group? Can you put yourself in the place of Paul, those of you who teach and preach from time to time? Here you preached a sermon, and you've got a group of people that are requesting that you might preach it again the next week. And then the next week comes, and what do you find? Almost the whole city has come together to hear the word of God. Isn't that amazing? In verse 43, "When the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Let me recommend to you a second thing that we seek in this gospel meeting, and that is not only gospel preaching like Paul preached in Acts 13, but we seek encouragement in this gospel meeting. I believe we need to be persuaded to continue in the grace of God. That's encouragement, isn't it? We need that kind of persuasion. We need that kind of encouragement and exhortation to continue in the grace of God. That's what Paul and Barnabas spoke to those who followed, persuading them to continue. You know, it's not always easy to keep on keeping on, is it? Sometimes we grow weary. Sometimes we get discouraged. And we need some encouragement. We need some building up. We need some edification. And that's one of the purposes of God's Word, as Paul commended the Ephesians, to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Acts 20 and verse 32. I don't know of anything greater that could build me up or to build you up than the Word of God. And so we seek encouragement in this gospel meeting. We need to be encouraged to continue. You know, in Acts 2 and verse 42, when folks were baptized in that first gospel meeting, if you will, that brought Jews out of every nation under heaven together, the Bible reports they continued. What did they do? They continued. It's not that they were baptized for the remission of their sins, and that was the end of the story. No, they continued. How'd they continue? Steadfastly. That's important. We need that spirit of steadfastness. As Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. What they continue steadfastly in? The apostles' doctrine or teaching. Fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. May those words that are spoken of those first converts characterize you and me today. We'll continue steadfastly, and we'll continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 46 says, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They what? They continued. They continue how often? Daily. You know, if your religion is just a weekly religion, you've got the wrong religion. Because the religion of our Lord is a daily religion. It involves daily cross-bearing. You take up your cross and follow daily. It involves continuing daily. It's not that you take a day off from serving your Lord. And yet, about the only religion that some people know anything about is a weekly religion. About the only time they think about the Lord, maybe on Sunday. And there may be those who less often than that. That's sad, isn't it? We need to continue daily. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, when there was a return again to Lystra, to Iconium and Antioch, the Bible says they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. There's going to be some persecution. There'll be opposition, won't there? There'll be tribulation. But continue in the faith. That's the message that we read in Colossians chapter 1 when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae and said that they were reconciled in the body if, verse 23, if what? Ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You see, there are forces at work to try to move you away, to keep you from being faithful. They come from lots of different places, right? Don't let anybody or anything move you away from the hope of the gospel. Because if they do, they take away the heavenly hope, your hope of heaven. And if you lose that, you've lost everything there is. You've lost it all if you don't have hope of heaven. Because as we've learned in our study this morning, all is vanity apart from God and vexation of spirit. And so we seek encouragement to continue in the grace of God. You don't want to fall from grace, as Galatians 5:4 talks about. You don't want to fail of God's grace, as Hebrews 12:15 describes. But continue in His grace, for by grace are you saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. I look forward to a week of encouragement, don't you? To continue in the grace of God. But not only do we seek a gospel meeting in which the gospel be preached and we seek encouragement, let me suggest to you that we seek the whole city. You know, verse 44 says, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we could get that kind of response to invitation and find almost the whole city come together, we seek the whole city of Terre Haute, don't we? Why do we seek the whole city? Because the whole city needs the Lord. The whole city needs Jesus. He's the Savior. The whole city needs what He is able to provide. What is in Him. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In verse 7 he said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The whole city needs all spiritual blessings. The whole city needs redemption. The whole city needs the forgiveness of sins. Do you know a part of this city that does not need Jesus? The whole city. The whole city needs the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. The whole city we seek. And so, we do our best to appeal to the whole city to the extent that we're able to make the gospel available. But let me suggest to you that we seek something else. And that is, we seek similar results. What were the results of this occasion when almost the whole city came together? We realize that there were mixed results. The Jews saw the multitudes. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Not everybody is thrilled when there are folks who come to hear the gospel. There are those who will oppose that, who will speak against that, be envious of that, contradict and blaspheme. Paul and Barnabas said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They found a greater reception among the Gentiles than they did among the Jews. And he quotes from Isaiah 49 and verse 6, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Those are the results that we seek. You might underscore in verse 48, "as many as were ordained to eternal life believe." We seek the kind of results that will find as many as ordained to eternal life will believe. That's another way of saying the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Or another way of saying, as expressed in Romans chapter 10, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did they do? They called upon the name of the Lord. They obeyed the gospel. They were obedient to the faith. They were baptized. They submitted to the Lord's plan of salvation. And what was it that brought that about? They had heard the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, as Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says. How can we expect folks to believe, to be ordained to eternal life? It begins with them hearing the word of the Lord. And so we seek these kind of results. We seek a gospel meeting in which the gospel is preached. A gospel meeting in which we are encouraged to continue in the grace of God. We seek the whole city, that as many as are ordained to eternal life will believe. And we seek the word published throughout all the region. Notice verse 49. The Bible says the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. May it be said of us, may that be so today, that the word of the Lord, the word of God, will be published throughout all this region. And it's ours to publish, isn't it? The Lord said, "Go ye," that means go me, doesn't it? "And preach the gospel to every creature." Why publish the word? Because of what the word is able to do. In James chapter 1 and in verse 21, James said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." As I thought about our coming meeting, you might like to think about this occasion when we have a similar thing that we read about in Acts chapter 13, when almost the whole city came together. As the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. As they besought, we seek. We seek a gospel meeting in which the gospel will be preached. And so we've invited men in whom we have confidence that they will preach the gospel. Preach the truth that's needed when it's needed. And we seek encouragement to be persuaded to continue in the grace of God. We seek the whole city of Terre Haute. We seek some of the results, that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and we seek the word of the Lord being published throughout all the region. And may God bless us in this endeavor. We hope that you'll make plans to attend every service. That's the least that we can do as members of the local church, isn't it? To attend. We are taught not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. And so we need to put first things first, as Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We'll do well to not only attend every service, but to invite others to come. And invitations have been made available to us. We might invite our friends and our neighbors and those that we work with and go to school with to come to hear the Word of God, that they too might be saved. There may be those in this audience who have not yet obeyed the gospel. We'd not think about dismissing an assembly like this without giving you the opportunity, without letting you know that there's something that you need to do and what it is that you need to do. We need the forgiveness of our sins. For the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And the forgiveness of sins has been made possible by Jesus Christ. Through His death on the cross and His resurrection, we are able to find redemption in Him. It involves us hearing Him, believing on Him with all of our heart, repenting of our sins, that is, making a change in our life, to turn from those things that are wrong, to do what's right in the sight of God, according to the Bible, His Word, to confess our faith in Him, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Him. Baptized for the remission of our sins, an immersion in water. We come up out of the water to rise, to walk in newness of life. And it's at that point that we're added to the church. We're in Christ, where we have redemption, and we need to continue in the grace of God all the days of our life. That daily religion, so that one day heaven can be our home. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. You've not been steadfast. You've not been continuing. You've fallen. You've failed. It's not too late. Well, you have the breath in your mouth and your health and the ability to repent, to be restored, to get back on track, to be restored to God's favor. And we invite you through repentance and prayer to do that, as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?